Good morning, everyone. All set to dive into this again? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, and we will be looking at verses 6 and 7 today. I hope we get through them. There's a lot of good meaty things in here. I pray that we can use them wisely in our lives. So verse 6, this is, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we do again thank you. Thank you for the blessings of your word. Thank you for the truth that we can hold dear with that. Father, we know that you have control of all things in our lives. And Father, as we say, as we're reading here this morning, Father, we would be careful for nothing and know that you are taking care of our needs. And Father, when we ask and come to you, and we'll see that today as we review through this lesson, Father, I pray that it'll be used wisely in our lives as it was used by the Philippians when the Apostle Paul penned that letter and brought it to them. Father, I do thank you. Pray that you'll have control of the service. Pray that it's your words and not ours. And it would go forth mightily and to just be an example for us to look to and how to conduct ourselves in this world, which is getting more and more hostile toward Christianity. And Father, we thank you and know that you have us as the winners in the end. And we thank you, Father, for the blessings of this and ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, it's amazing with all of the events going on that verses 6 and 7 can kind of be a blessing to us. I don't know how faithful you watch the news. Sometimes it's like, I don't even want to turn it on. But people get an idea in their head that they are going to take things into their own hands and that they're going to get their, I guess I don't want to call it a reward, but that's what they're going to have here is their reward here. But as it says here in Philippians, it's be careful for nothing. And it's so important, and it, in realizing that when we left off in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. His second coming is imminent. We believe that. And it should give us some encouragement, and it should also help us with not to worry so much. I don't remember who made the statement, but you know, if we worry about things that might happen, we're worrying really for nothing, because oftentimes what we're worrying about never happens. And we should be careful about things. It's like it's a command and not an option. But we as human beings, and well, God in his infinite wisdom allowed us to be free will agents. We can make our own decisions. And of course, in the Garden of Eden, what decision was made? Well, to love what he created rather than the creator. And we often don't give to God what he's done, what he is doing for us. And, you know, so there's kind of an undue care into things which really belong to God. Sometimes we have a hard time discerning and what God really has control over. We should step back and say, God, what do you have control over? You know, and as one person put it, it says it makes us the father of the household instead of being a child. You know, and sometimes our children tell us, you know, I can't wait till I grow up. How many of us said that to our parents when we were young? Well, I can't wait till I get grow up. I can do whatever I want. Of course, I read some of the memes about that. It says, okay, go right ahead. You can leave now if you'd like. Go get a job. Move into your own place. Pay your own bills. And watch how fast they come back. Sometimes they do. Some of them go, I don't like this, but, you know, I think I can do this. And it's very hard as a parent to watch our children leave the house and going out into the world. We want to take care of them. We want to help. Sometimes some parents help more than they should. But as parents, we want to make sure that they're taken care of, that they wouldn't make the same mistakes we do. But if we're smart and realize, yep, they're going to probably repeat the same things and they're going to learn them. God is standing back, in some ways, doing that very same thing, allowing us to make decisions on our own. And then reminding when we come to prayer and saying, I told you if you did, it was going to turn out that way, didn't it? Some of us realize that sooner than others. But it's that we're not to be anxious about things in this present life. We should understand things that are going on. Yeah, we should have a certain amount of concern. I mean, looking around, I mean, how many times have we seen the types of things that are going on in Portland and big cities over one person that was unjustly injured or killed? A certain amount of indignation should be registered. We should not, when something like that happens and it's very blatant, or when others happen and people's perception is, boy, am I going to go out there and fix that guy and destroy things. It's not right, That's our political point for the day. But really, when you think about that, there are a lot of people that are very scared right now. Scared because of this virus that's going around. Scared that we could have riots or somebody could break into our home. If we lived in fear all the time like that, we might as well just, curl up in a little ball or just go call up the state and say, or the doctor and say, I can't take it anymore. Please give me the medication so I can end my life. That would be really the just, the attitude to take. But thankfully, God is standing back and he's comforting us. It's that we are to exercise no care, because we should have a certain amount of care and empathy over things that happen. And as Christians, it's important for us to have a concern, but to have a proper amount of concern. And that we're to care for our own property. We're to care about how to provide for our families. We're to be also with enough confidence to know that that God is giving us a free mind from anxiety. That's what he really. That's why he's here. He's got his arm around us saying, it'll be fine. I have control of it. But as human beings, we tend to worry about that. When was the last time any of you went hungry? Charlie? Charlie thinks the world is... Charlie thinks the world is a buffet, an all-you-can-eat buffet. But, it's very important, especially those of us that know Christ as our Savior. We should understand that we're being taken care of. And we have a dependence on him. But now there are some people that have an over-dependence on him. Some people won't go to work and says, God will provide it for me. And sure enough, when somebody shows up and takes care of them, say, see, God will take care of this. And, going through, and at some point, maybe God will say, okay, enough is enough. And when that person gets a little bit hungry and realize, maybe he meant for me to kind of do some things on my own. He's providing things for us. And we look around. Most of us have got a job. In fact, I don't think anybody here doesn't have a job except for the retired people, and even those of us who are staying active. We're able to take care of the needs that we have because of the Lord. You know, the jobs that we have. Who provided them to us? Well, I went out and I spent my time, you know, looking for this job and putting my resume together and making sure that, you know, I had the right skill set that they needed. Well, where did those skill sets come from? It came from the Lord. You know, Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What shall ye eat, or what shall ye drink? Nor yet for your body, what shall ye put on? It is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment." And he goes on from there to, and Christ is telling the disciples, giving them an example that you'll be taken care of. Yeah, you have a skill set. Go out and use that skill set. But who are you doing it for? You know? When we know Christ as our Savior, our life is really no longer our own. We know that. And the jobs that we do, we're doing it to provide for our families as we should. And we're to be an example, like what it was showing. You know, back in verse 5, it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." And for being careful that we know that God is taking care of us. And if times become hard and we lose that job, He'll take care of us. You know, and, you know, in my life, I've seen a lot of times when it was like, okay, I'm going to get out of the service. Well, opportunity came around. I said, no, I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to go a little bit longer. Looking toward the end goal. You know, like Lynn's son, he said, well, it's not a good time to get out. So he reenlisted for another couple of years. Sometimes we say, well, I'm going to leave this job. I'm going to go hunt for another one. And maybe when you do, you find out, I'm just fine where I'm at for the time being. One, because for us, or at least for me, when I retired from the service, for instance, I didn't have a job. I came out, found one fairly quickly, knowing that, you know, most of my bills were taken care of. My needs were taken care of. But the Lord gave direction. First thing we looked for was a good church. We didn't look for that job. We looked for a good church. Of course, when Pastor Leister came out here, there wasn't a church out here that so they said, we're going to start one. And a lot of us do that. Rather than look for, well, the job that's there, or maybe find out the job, the very next thing is there a good church there? And that's so important for us. And that's where we say, Lord, give me wisdom. And in the same light, the very next word here in verse 6, after being careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And everything, with prayer, we look at that. You know, when we go oftentimes in prayer, do we just go to God like it's a vending machine and we can pick the selections out and say, okay, God, I want A10, you know, and that's going to meet my need here and it's going to roll out the bottom. You know, if I put just enough time in that, am I going to get it? Well, no, that's not what He wants. He wants this. He wants everything there. Now, does that mean that we're going to, you know, we're all the time praying? Well, we should always have a prayerful attitude. There are some people that if you talk with them, they find out that their mind is always thinking about, what, Lord, what will you have me to do? What do I need to do here? Periodically, it's like, Lord, help me now, please. You know, we need that. But everything. When we come to prayer, we think about what has God done for us and how He is taking care of everything. He's not a God that created the earth like a lot of people said and tossed it out there like a frisbee or whatever and just let it go on its own way. Well, what happens when you toss a frisbee out there? Eventually it's going to land and that energy just stops. Well, thankfully, He keeps it going. He intervenes as He needs to. He helps us in such a way that we know that it is Him that is taking care of us. A lot of times kind of neglect that, put that on the back burner, and then maybe at the end of the day we go, okay, Lord, Lord, you helped me throughout this day. You helped me. And it's everything. There are areas in our lives that they're of no concern to God. Really? I think every part of our life is of concern to God. He wants us to be examples to the lost around us. He wants us to be examples to the weak amongst us. You know, and the thing is none of us can change our past. None of us can predict the future. Some of us are good guessers, and it happens. But, you know, he wants us to work in the present. He wants us to be there. You know, and that's how God is. There's no such thing as past and future for God. He's always in the now. Eventually, we'll be there. You know, when we don't have to have a wristwatch or a calendar to look at. We will always be in the now with God. And he's there. There's no such thing as past or future. And in doing so, it would help us to look at the future and not be worried, which is what really happens. And that's why be careful for nothing. We're not to be anxious. And that's how some people have translated it. You know, don't be anxious for nothing. But, and I guess you could translate that there. I don't know. What's the key word there, Chris? you can probably add, yeah, worry. You know, but be careful. It's like the term moderation when we looked at that. You know, how it's being used. There's probably a lot of words they could have put in there. But they said, be careful. And as Christians, well, it's like the word, you know, in Psalms where it says it's a lamp unto our feet, to my feet. And I was told that meant that at times in the darkness, they used to put a candle on their foot. And all they would see is that step just in front of them. And just enough so that you wouldn't step over a cliff, for instance, or maybe step on something you weren't supposed to. Just give you right there, because if you were to see further beyond it, you probably wouldn't go that direction. And that's like us. If we saw the future, you know, I can imagine Daniel. He was seeing well into the future, but he didn't see the little valleys beyond that. He saw what was happening toward the end. And he was given that glimpse. Can you imagine what would happen to him if he saw what was happening in between those valleys? Thankfully, he trusted God enough to say, okay, I know that I'm a sinful man, and I need to pray about this, and I need to make sure that it's correct, but I also need to be able to tell people what to expect. John, when he wrote Revelation, I can imagine what he was thinking at that time. He was showing some pretty rough times that are coming. Well, fortunately, we're not in tribulation because we're all still here. Thankfully. But it's like, when are we going to get called home? How bad will it be when the rapture occurs? We don't know. Are we to worry about it? No. We should show a certain amount of concern as we go forward. But yet, we shouldn't be also just sitting there going, okay, whatever happens, happens, and I'm just going to live with it. No, we're to be proactive, because if that was the case, we wouldn't be here when we got saved. We're to be doing the Lord's work. That's what the Apostle Paul was encouraging the Philippians to go forward, be able to not just stand there and accept the situation as it is and just let it happen, but to be active in it, to be an example. It's like we're talking about the two women that had this issue, which is the Apostle Paul is still dealing with here, about, you know, being careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. He's showing that we should pray instead of worry. That's what we should come down to. You know, prayer and supplication. And I looked at that, and I was kind of looked at the what prayer and supplication really are, and I looked at it as ask and aim, so to speak. You know, well, prayer, you know, tells us to open the communication with the Lord. So we ask. But with supplication, it gives us how to direct. In other words, giving God our concern. It's not that he doesn't already know it, because, you know, he's there. We don't need to tell him the information. He just wants to hear it from us. It's like with little children. When they have the nightmare at night and they come either running into the room or crying, you ask them, what's the problem? You probably already figured out that they've had a nightmare. They're upset and there, but you want to comfort them. But you want to hear it from them. And when they can tell you what it is, then you can react properly. Well, that's what God wants to hear from us. Are we concerned enough to tell the Lord about our problem? He already knows it. He just wants to know, can you tell me about it? And he wants it in such a way that he can answer that prayer. He knows, like I said, he knows what's on our heart. When he doesn't hear from it, do you think he's likely not to answer that prayer? You know, how many times have we not said something to the Lord when we should have, and not seen that answered prayer? And then go, well, Lord, he didn't answer that. He knows what's on my heart. I shouldn't have to tell him that. No, he wants to hear it from us. It's concern. That's what a loving parent does. They want to hear their children. They want to hear from them to know they care enough to tell me about that. It's sad when children can't come to their parents and literally pour their heart out to them. That's what God's asking us to do. Pour our heart out to him and go to him. And then with thanksgiving, as one person wrote it, this guards against a whining, complaining spirit before God. When we come thankfully, and people say, well, you know, why are you so happy? You know, something happened. Well, I was reading a story about a man that had been mugged. He said, well, I'm thankful I didn't get killed, didn't get injured. I'm thankful that maybe that person needed that money. You know, desperate times, people do desperate things. You know, he was thinking all on the good things of that. He says, I hope that meets the need of that person. Some people can ask for forgiveness. And we should really look at it from that aspect. It's like what's going on around us now. You know, can we be thankful for some of the things that are going on? Well, it's opening people's eyes to how people really react. And maybe it will change their minds. I know I've upset people on my attitude about how, you know, all this virus thing's going on. And there's a couple of us in here that are in that critical age group where, you know, we will be affected by it. Well, if it happens, it happens, but I'm going to make sure that I'm not going to sit in my house and be afraid to go out. I'll be mindful, but I'm not going to be worried by it. If it's time for me to go home, well, that's when the Lord calls me, period. But I'm not going to let that stop me from, well, one, meeting my clients, shaking hands with people. We even get a few more hugs now. But we're respectful of other people. That's what's so important with this. You know, so the question is, why is praying with thanksgiving about our problems and conflict important? Why is it important? Pastor?
We have a need to express that before God, for that communion.
Exactly. We have that need. You know, and others will see that. You know, we're acknowledging that trust. Anybody have another thought along with that same line? Really, yeah. When we're thanking the Lord, I mean, and we can say, well, you know, he knows that I'm thankful for that, this, that, or whatever. He does. He wants to hear it from us. You know, how many times as children were we told to say thank you for a gift given to us? Or reminded to say it. Some children are very quick to say thank you. Yeah, I'm thankful. In this group, there oftentimes when things happen, you get a little card given to you by some people to thank for that. And it's a blessing. And I know it's a blessing when we come to the Lord thanking Him for taking care of things. And, you know, and even the littlest things. You know, waking up in the morning. Waking up in the morning, it definitely has to be a blessing. Well, if you know Christ as your Savior, not waking up could be a blessing too. But other people, you know, might not see that. They might have a concern. A blessing for the Lord taking care of us in a variety of ways in our lives. It's so very important. And it needs to be connected to our prayer life. We should always find something to be thankful for, no matter what may be the burden on us at the time. And then let your request be known unto God. And it's not as if we were to give Him information, like we mentioned, but to express to Him our wants, our needs. You know, is it wrong to ask for a want rather than a need? Not necessarily. God's going to correct us if it's a want that He doesn't think that we need. You know, there are things that we look for that might be very grand to somebody, but in reality it might be a need. Or it might be able to help us in a certain way. You know, God needs not to be informed of our necessities, but He requires that we come to Him and express them to Him. Ezekiel 36:37, it says, "Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them." He wanted to hear about it. Sometimes He might hold something back if He doesn't hear, like we mentioned before. You know, He already knows what our requests are. And He'll often wait. You know, that's like, well, why do I have to wait? Well, why don't you not have to wait? You know, God is not our servant. We're His servant. He's not our little genie that we rub on the lamp to get the answered wish. He's there to make sure that we're growing. Our children, if we're raising them right, you know, they don't get everything they ask for. Now, as parents, we'd like to be able to give them everything they want. And that's what God, He wants everything for us. But He wants it in such a way that we will grow, that we will be thankful for what's there. Sometimes when He sees that we're not thankful, He might remove some things from us. You know, pastors talked about people that are not productive for the Lord. It could be an early death. It could be called home sooner than we were expected. Maybe we have to lose something in order to realize how dependent we need to be on the Lord. Sometimes we're challenged in that way. You know, He knows what we want, but He loves to hear it from us. He loves to hear the thanksgiving. He loves to hear the needs. He loves to see our tears of joy when something happens. He lets us know what we need and how to approach that for us in such a way that we know that it came from the Lord. It's difficult sometimes for people to admit that it came from the Lord. But I think the longer that we're saved and walk on this earth, we're able to say, the Lord provided that for me. We look at our health. I'm thankful. I'm going to be 70 years old here shortly. My wife got a nice compliment the other day. Young girl thought that she was 45 years old. She smiled at her and said, "Thank you very much." She said, "No, you do not look like you're going to be 69. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the Lord is taking care of this church here. Every Sunday there's an offering of some sort, and it meets the needs that we've come up with. We have people here that are thankful for each and every one of us together. As a group, when we look at that, yeah, we're small. But you know what? Our missionaries don't see us as small. We're providing into the help for our missionaries. And I think if I were to look around, we would, percentage-wise, we probably give more than some of the larger churches when you look at it. Yeah, there's some up there taking offering and, you know, take care of that missionary for a year. They might have several hundred people there. Yet, we have 10. And when you look at the number, it's not a big number. But if you look at all the other small churches that are paying into that, they're being taken care of. I think of the cooks getting ready to go out on the field, and they've got a majority of their needs to get out onto the field. And it's coming more and more. The Norris is the same way. Then I think of, you know, Brother Pat up in Iceland, of how things are being taken care of for him step by step through there, and seeing that their building project might be finished soon. And the government can't take that church from them as long as they move forward. I think of the Rogers in Brazil, or the Herzls down in Vanuatu, or the down in Chile, you know, names are coming right out of my head, Talkington's, you know, looking for a building. Each and every one of them, and we have a part in that. We're thankful that we can do that. And, you know, since we've taken these on, just about every year we have increased, and I think the last 3 years we've increased support for our missionaries. We're a very blessed group and thankful that the Lord has provided the ability to be able to do that, and to know that it's been the Lord that's done it. Not, oh yeah, look at the check that I wrote today. No, I don't think anybody here can say that or does say that. And it's thankfulness and knowing that our requests are being made to the Lord, that we're doing it from a heart that loves the Lord. And sure, each one of us, we have concerns in our heart, in our lives. But we should be concerned enough to know that the Lord will take care of this if I just let him. I'm not going to try to run ahead of the God. If we do, guess what happens? We stumble and fall. Then he goes, I told you to wait. I mean, little children do that very same thing. They start running ahead of mom and dad, fall down. Or get ready to step off the curb into traffic and a hand on the shoulder catches them. That's what God does to us sometimes. We're ready to step off the curb into oncoming traffic and we didn't fully look each direction, and all of a sudden a hand stops us and says, nope, don't go any further yet. I'll let you know when it's okay to go. And that's what he's doing in our lives. And that's why it's important when we look at verse 6 this way, is to be careful for nothing and everything when we come to prayer and supplication, asking and then aiming that prayer toward God, that he will be giving us the needs there, and we can be thankful for him when we ask him for that. And as we look forward, it gives us, looking into the next verse, the peace of God. And that's what we're going to look at next week, is that promise of peace and how it applies to us. Because there's different ways of looking at peace. Peace from God and peace with God. But the peace of God is very important for us as Christians. Let's pray. And Father, we do thank you again for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness and taking care of us. Father, we are thankful that you love us. We're so thankful that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us and rose from the tomb to give victory over death so that we will not have to go through that. And by accepting him as our Savior, we can walk into eternity with you, knowing that all of it's been provided by you. And Father, we just want to thank you for that. And we ask now, Father, you just be with us the rest of the day. Give us wisdom and direction for how we're to go. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Well, part way there. There we go. Pray. Yellow words aren't at the end.